To see you all here. I was inspired to create this Sunday in part by this song, thank you, Walk Right In, which you have all sung so enthusiastically and even clapping from the back of the room. I love it. Thank you. Now, however, I can believe that some of you are thinking, well, surely this song is from the 70s and 80s, and that line about lose your mind, well, that's all about, you know, marijuana, LSD, and whatever else it would take to lose your mind. But I just wanted you to all feel that you could just walk right in and that nobody would question you, your motivations, your right to be here. And then I searched the history of the song. This is great, and it totally fits this morning. It was written in 1929, before drugs, rock and roll, by Gus Cannon, who was the leader of a jug band. But it wasn't until 1970 when the song hit the top of the charts, sung by the, anybody know? The Rooftop Singers. And that was the time when Cannon finally made some money from it because he won the rights to the royalties. Just 1 year before that, he had been compelled to hawk his banjo in order to pay his heating bill. And the story gets better. A possible origin for the lyrics is the gospel church. Walk right in, find a pew, let your hair hang down, surrender whatever it is that has a grip on your life, and join the Lord. Find a new way of walking with God. And of course, the hope of salvation. But this morning, I'm not going to talk quite about that. I'm going to tell you about Unitarian Universalism and our fellowship, which are perhaps a new way of walking from what you've experienced as religion before. We can offer a socially oriented, not salvation-centered spiritual home where the principles and sources stress deed, not creed. Let me explain a little bit about where UU came from. And I didn't realize it, but this was perfect. Nikki gave a little bit of this background, so a little bit of this is repeating. Unitarian Universalism is the marriage of two religious traditions, each with a lengthy history, but both of them out of the Protestant Reformation. Unitarianism dates back to the 16th century. The times were characterized by intense debates, and Unitarians argued that the notion of the Trinity was neither biblical nor was it theologically sound. So early Unitarians contended that God was one, Unitarian as opposed to Trinitarian. Now, on this Halloween weekend, oddly enough, it's perhaps most appropriate to explain that the oldest continuing Unitarian denomination in the world was established in what is now Romania, titled, and they would be in, having their services as we speak, the Unitarian Church of Transylvania. Forward to this country. Unitarianism developed when the Puritan-led churches of Massachusetts in the early 1800s, and they believed that human beings were more divine than depraved. This was viewed as a violation of creeds, and as a result, these heretics often left their churches, so that today, many a New England square features both a Unitarian church and a Congregational church, now called the United Church of Christ. And as you know, the Congregational Church is just diagonal across the street from us. Universalism was founded in response to Calvinist doctrine in the 18th century. Calvin believed that only an elect few were chosen at birth to be saved. But early Universalist preachers believed that all people are loved by God universally. Universalists are firm believers in the goodness of human beings, that all people have the potential to live good and fulfilling lives. So in brief, Unitarian, God is one, not a Trinity. Universalism, the belief that all people are loved and carry a spark of the divine. So how do we happen to be here today in Winona in this guild hall? Well, in Winona, we go back to 1864, the same year that Abe Lincoln was elected for a second term, and the first Congregational Unitarian Church was organized in Winona and continued for 21 years. Next, in 1888, a second generation began when the first Unitarian Church, so not congregational, was organized, hired a minister, and later built a magnificent arts and crafts architectural style church. It's on our website. It's absolutely a magnificent church. It stood, it's gone now, it stood where the Lutheran Church now stands on Wabasha and Huff. And that congregation dissolved 23 years later. Over 50 years later, we're determined to be here, over 50 years later, in 1963, a Unitarian Fellowship, so not both UUs, just Unitarian, was established, which described themselves in the newspaper as a church that tries to be as modern as your mind. So remember the lyrics this morning. It's pretty funny, huh? But in 1978, this third generation also closed. So finally, we, this congregation, is the fourth generation, and we are the Unitarian Universalist, so we include both denominations. And we've been here for 35 years, the longest of all four, I might say. This is our 35th year anniversary. Pretty cool. Thank you. We've met in various places, including Ray's in my home across the street, the East End Rec Building, Lourdes Hall, Kensington Hotel, other places that others of you can remember. Hours of thoughtful discussion and decisions by boards and committees have shaped this fellowship. Writing a mission statement, whether we should meet every Sunday or every other Sunday, who would come every Sunday, and perhaps the most far-reaching, applying and receiving membership in the Unitarian Universalist Association, and that happened in 1999. Meanwhile, the Unitarians and Universalists had united in this country, in America, in 1961. And if you look at your order of service, and I'm going to refer to it a few times today, the two rings around the chalice are representative of the UU. If you turn to the back of the order of service, you'll see that our original founders have expanded, their visions have been expanded. If you will look at the back, and Vicki again referred to it, the sources of our living tradition. Now, living refers to the fact that we consider ourselves an ongoing, evolving denomination, that our sources are changing, new information and human thought and knowledge continues to change and continues to inform our denomination. So the sources of our faith are many and are constantly being built upon. Now, a word about the Bible as a source. Both Unitarian and Universalism grew out of Christianity. And while we continue to see the Bible as a rich source of stories and certainly of wisdom, most UUs do not see it as the one authority of its own. And again, if you look at the sources, the third, fourth one down, world's religions, and Jewish Christianity are referred to as our sources, but it is much broader than one book. So you may well ask, what do you people believe? Well, that leads us to the top of the back of this, to our seven principles. And as Nikki alluded to, there is an eighth. On any given Sunday, at any UU community, which might be a fellowship like ours, meaning we are lay-led, or a church which has a Unitarian Universalist minister, you may find yourself surrounded by a myriad of beliefs. I'm sure if we went around the room, we would find that this morning. Some of us identify as humanists. Others call upon the example of Jesus for ethical teachings. Still others find their spiritual core in Judaism or Buddhism. And others are atheists or agnostics. But with that diversity, all members affirm and promote a common set of principles. And they are listed on the back of the order of service. This is a covenant, implying that it's a promise that's sacred to us. And I can tell you, I used to be an eighth grade teacher. It can be hard to do this. Scotty Alexander, who is a highly admired UU minister, explains our covenant with this story. Regrettably, many people used to be attracted to UUs because it seemed the religious path of least resistance. A recent visitor told him, hey, this religion's great. Walk right in, right? No dogma, no catechism, no confession booth, no eternal damnation or sin. I like this. If I join this church, I just lean back and believe whatever I want to. But it doesn't work that way. Rather, he goes on to say, it gives you the freedom to search for and find those beliefs which your heart and soul cannot escape, and then to live by them. For a very practical example, voting this year from a UU perspective, I affirm these principles, the inherent worth and dignity of every person, justice, equity, and compassion in human relations, but also a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. And back to that visitor that Scotty Alexander met, he might have thought, I don't have to worship anything. Just sit right down, hang out till coffee and conversation, which we will have. Well, since we don't all believe in the same God with a capital or lowercase g, what are we worshiping? Well, here's my take on that. Worship comes from worth, W-O-R-T-H, worth-ship. So worship is about considering what is of worth. Our Sunday morning service is our opportunity to contemplate what is most worthy in our lives and how will we act upon that while following our seventh principles. And what about prayer, one may ask? Nikki alluded to that. I have a slightly different take, and for every person in this room, it's different. I won't answer, therefore, for all you use, but for myself, I am most moved by the readings in our hymnal. And for example, I invite you to pick up the hymnal, hopefully one is nearby, and look at reading 468. It's in the back. Interesting that the source for the editors of our hymnal found this work in a Jewish, it was either in a temple or in a library. So despite his last name, Odell, it somehow has a Jewish root, which brings us back, if you look at our sources, that covers two or three of them. So it's kind of interesting. So I'd like to read this. I will read through it, and I invite you, as you wish, to read the part that are in italics. We need one another when we mourn and would be comforted. We need one another when we are in despair, in temptation, and need to recall to our best selves again. We need one another in the hour of success when we look for someone to share our triumphs. We need one another when we come to die and would have gentle hands prepare us for the journey. What gifts, we might ask, can we offer others? Imagine. To give you a closer understanding of our fellowship in particular, I'll ask you to open up to the order of service again. I can remember when it was a big deal to commit to this at all. I mean, to have an order. Patty remembers too. But there were two elements of this service that were insisted upon constantly throughout the last years: the chalice lighting and time for cares and concerns. As we just read in the responsive reading, others are in need of us. We have a caring committee led by Carolyn Collins, which organizes meals, rides, cards, time, errands for those who are ill or in any kind of need. Also, that committee honored the memory of over 20 relatives of this congregation who had lost their lives to or because of COVID by having a ginkgo tree planted at Lake Park. And you'll see that tree on the lakeside of the park between the Rose Garden and the playground. Our chalice lighting is the other essential. It's important for the words which center us each Sunday, and you can imagine the writing that went into those words. And in fact, when I think of the living tradition, I must add this. I remember when someone said to us, the last words of the chalice writing are, and we to be fully who we are. And someone suggested to me that we change that to be, and to be fully who we are becoming. And I've thought about that a lot. And I think in this day and age, that's an important change that we might make. This was written in 2016, revised, so it keeps being revised. But I think that's a thought. The words, but also why the chalice itself is the symbol of the UUA, and I'm going to piggyback on what Nikki wrote earlier. It reaches back to 1940, the chalice. Hans Deutsch was an Austrian artist who had drawn critical cartoons of Adolf Hitler and therefore, of course, had to flee when the Nazis invaded Paris. He met Reverend Joy, executive director of the Unitarian Service Committee, which was a secret network of agents who helped Eastern Europeans escape Nazi persecution. The USC was an unknown organization, and they needed a symbol for their documents to make them look official, to reflect the spirit of their work, but also to be quickly recognized by any language so that they couldn't be words. Deutsch drew the chalice with the flame, and the design was used as a seal for papers, a badge for agents moving refugees, and a symbol scratched in the dirt to identify safe houses, all of which saved countless lives. And there's much, much more to that story. It's an incredible story. In time, this became the symbol of Unitarian Universalism everywhere. Today, we use it, and you'll see it on the blue pamphlets and elsewhere in the colors, LGBTQ colors. So it, too, is an example of something which has evolved. Now known as the UU Service Committee, it continues to advance human rights around the world, and our fellowship supports it yearly with a $500 donation and a guest at your table fundraiser each spring. And we have our own social action committee, led by Debbie Niebuhr. Each year, the committee distributes $2,500 to various organizations, local, national, or international. Often, it's when disaster has struck, a flood, fire, here or abroad. But funds have also been given to the Winona Senior High Group focused on justice. Next spring, we hope to hold our much-missed, since COVID, annual book sale. Where is Barb passing? Over there. It's always been a favorite in Winona. It's been well-attended. 100% of the money from that sale is split between a local and national nonprofit organization. So as I close, I hope you've discovered a new way of walking and can imagine that you would feel, and as I hope you were today, comfortable coming again to sit right down.